Does how your family grew up handling money and finances affect you and your marriage as an adult? And how can we avoid personal money pitfalls and overcome them? We're going to talk about some money matters today
with Callie Picardo. Her and her husband Rosario have written Healthy Money. And Callie is joining us to talk about money mindsets this morning. Good morning, Callie.
Good morning, Deb and Seth. It's so good to be with you all today.
You know, money is such an interesting subject. It can be a contentious subject in a family. What were some of the, you know, the inspirations for you and your husband to put this book together? What's the story behind it?
We've had a long journey ourselves trying to figure out how as a married couple we handle finances. But also my husband, Raz, he's a pastor, and so he does premarital counseling for couples, and I hop in the finance conversation, and it's amazing how finances were handled differently growing up and how that impacts the way they handle them together. I mean, it impacts you singly as an individual handling finances, but then when you try to bring two people together with two different backgrounds in finances, it can be challenging. And we went through that own journey ourselves. We did a Christian financial Bible study together when we were engaged. I kind of told Roz, hey, I love you. I want to get married, but this is really important to me. I know so many marriages that end in divorce because of a variety of things, but often they play out in the finances. And so I really wanted to be on the same page with my spouse when it came to money and doing it God's way. And so we did that together, but then we had to reconcile. We have very different backgrounds and our families handled money differently. And we wanted to do it God's way, but we also had to figure out what there's some wrong things, but also a variety of right things, and what was God's way for us to be faithful stewards. And so that's a good place to start, is figuring out how is money handled when you were a kid and how is that impacting the way you do it as an adult.
So did one of you think that your family's was the right way to do it? Or does everybody think that their family's is kind of the right way to do it?
It depends. You know, some people say, well, of course, that's the only way to do it. That's how I've seen it. But then others, I think, say, I didn't like how my family handled it. There was a lot of stress around finances, so I want to do it differently. So Raz, for example, his family immigrated to the United States from Sicily, and they were dealing with factory jobs and trying to really save and be faithful with every penny they had. So Raz, as he got to be an adult, he wanted to be more free to be able to be generous, to be able to spend on things that were important to him. And so he was kind of reacting to his childhood. I'm the kid of a family of all financial advisors. I mean, I have it on both sides of my family. Like, everyone in my family is in finance almost. And so I grew up with the, here's how you save, here's how you invest. And my parents taught me tithing as I was a small child growing up in church. And so that was something that was a good thing that had ingrained in me. So I think I was more established in, well, of course, this is the one right way to handle finances because I come from a finance family. And we had to learn to work together, especially around giving. We were both so passionate about giving, but my husband's spontaneous and I'm a planner. And he would say, here's a need, let's give. And I'd say, but what about the budget? And so we had to learn to budget for spontaneous giving. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'd be arguing all the time. So now we build in money so that it doesn't squash his desire to be generous as the Holy Spirit leads, but so we can also plan for everything else.
So what are some things that might be a pitfall or a challenge that you wouldn't normally expect, but something that's really important to kind of think about or even plan for?
It depends kind of how you take the question, Seth. I can go in a couple different directions with that. But some things, you know, it's just in practical planning, there are just some good financial principles like having an emergency fund, saving for long-term purchases, saving for retirement as you can, avoiding debt where you can. If you've got debt, working on paying that off. There's some good how-tos. But why we wrote Healthy Money was really to get underneath the surface, because we know a lot of people that know what they should do, but they're not able to do it. There's something that's blocking them. And so some of it's stopping and figuring out, okay, how has God wired me? What's my personality? And so we found kind of five different common financial mindsets that often shape how you approach your finances, but then also exploring, okay, how was money handled when I was a kid? Because that's probably impacting me now. And if I don't stop and notice it and name it, I can't get past that sometimes. Yeah. And then as adults, we often have a financial experience, both positive and negative, that can shape us. You know, it might be getting that raise, getting that promotion, and naming that that was a positive, good thing, but also making sure it doesn't become an idol. It might be a negative thing where you had to go through bankruptcy, and it makes you deal with the shame when it comes to this area of finances that makes you not want, it gives you this block, like, I can't ever get ahead. And so when we stop to notice with God, with the Holy Spirit, what are some of those things underneath the surface that might be impacting my finances, it can help us avoid a lot of the pitfalls and start to put into practice some of the good, healthy financial habits that we might know, but we're just struggling with.
Right.
Yeah, it's really good. What are some of the money mindsets that you talk about?
So we've got 5 different ones, and the goal was really, none are perfect. They both all have challenges with them, but they all have really positive things. And so if you can be a healthy version of your mindset, it can help you get ahead. And so the first one is the security mindset. I mean, this person's probably really good at saving, working toward their financial goals. They don't like to play it safe. They're probably more of a saver. But the downside of this personality you got to watch for is it can tend toward a scarcity mindset where there's never enough, and you trust more in how much money's in your bank account than whether God is in control. And it can be hard to make a big purchase or even step out in faith and give. And so positives and negatives to each of these. There's a collector mindset is the second one. This is a person that loves collecting things. It might be any big things like classic cars and antique furniture. It might be little collections of, toy cars or baseball cards or angels from like the Precious Moments angel collection. I've seen people collect those. And they often tend to gravitate in some ways toward people that have a similar affinity, or they like to show off their collection. And as they're building relationships that way, it can be this huge opportunity to share Christ with people that they've gotten to know through their collection and their hobby with that. On the downside, it can be a tendency to find your value in things. And so that's the piece to guard against, is it's not about stuff. And hoarding can be a challenge with that mindset. And so just remembering that if a possession is something we can't give away, that possession started to possess us. The third one's a benevolence mindset. And I don't know, Seth and Deb, I'll be curious to see if any of these resonate with you, because some are one or both, but one or more of these. But the benevolence mindset is the person that's just so generous. They love to give, whether that's to charitable causes or to just their loved ones. And, you know, it's the spring and they've probably figured out their Christmas gifts already. They're finding those perfect gifts because that's their love language. And you think, well, could anything be wrong with giving? I mean, giving's biblical, right? But I've seen some people get into more of a codependent habit where they're enabling, and where they often can't receive anything themselves, where they think, gosh, I don't deserve anything nice. You know, I shouldn't have anything nice because I should just give it all away. And they have a hard time receiving if they're not careful. The fourth one's carpe diem mindset, you know, seize the day. This person loves to just do spontaneous things. They love to live in the moment. They are a fun person to be around. But it can also be hard to save and do that faithful stewardship and planning for the future. And then the final one's a laissez-faire mindset, that just let it be, let it go, let it live and let live. You know, the healthy side is what the Apostle Paul expresses of, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, well fed or hungry, whether in plenty or in want. And so that's the healthy side. But if it becomes more of a self-defeatist, you know, I'm not even going to try because I know I'll never be able to get ahead. Maybe I just feel like my financial case is too far gone. You know, I'm just going to give up. Then that tends toward unhealthy. So any of those resonate with you guys?
Well, you know,
I can see myself in a couple of those.
And it depends on what kind of day you've had, what kind of attitude you're having, you know, where you are. And because as you're talking, I'm going, yep, I've been there. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's kind of, yeah, well, it depends on my day. I'm over there at that one. Uh-huh. So how do you know when you have a healthy balance of these mm-hmm. tendencies? And where's, you know, where's that good middle of the road, if that is even a good thing?
Yeah, I think it's figuring out how you're wired first, what resonates with you most, which one of those, or what season you're in. Or I don't, one thing I've been learning is some people have a different financial mindset at home versus at work if they're in charge of a budget or the finances in a work-related setting. My husband's an example. He's two different versions depending on where he is. And I think it's knowing how you're wired and then figuring out, God, how can I move toward a healthy version of me? God, you know how I'm shaped. You know how I'm formed. God, help me grow. And so, for instance, I tend to be more of a security or benevolence mindset. It are kind of my two ones I tend toward. And if I'm not careful, it becomes about having enough and not mm-hmm. trusting that God is enough. And so I often will do a practice of surrender just to help me grow. It's something I do in a lot of areas of my faith where I just start naming the things, the people, the situations, the resources. I just name them all and say, God, I surrender these to you. Thank you that you're in control. And so there's some good practices, some spiritual disciplines, some scriptures that we can meditate on that help us move toward health, however God's wired us.
Mm-hmm. I love that because I can see myself in the security one as well, because I grew up with a family that I was the last of six kids, so we didn't have a lot. So we learned to really save, and so it's sometimes hard to spend money. Yet I want to give to people, but I have that inner conflict, like, will I have enough if I give?
Right.
And so I can definitely see that.
Yeah, when you name it, when you know that about yourself, when you feel like the Holy Spirit's leading you to do a big gift, but you're like, I don't know if I can, you can start to name, okay, God, I know I'm wired to be more of a saver, to have more of a security mindset. If this is really of you, help me to take that step of faith. Lord, you know how I'm made. You know I'm how weak I am, like the flesh side of me, but I also have your Holy Spirit inside of me. And so, God, You are strong when I am weak. Help me to take this step of faith.
Yeah. There's so much in this. There's so many things to dig into. How do we get a hold of the book, Heavenly Money? How do we get to it and study it a little bit?
Yeah. Healthy Money, a 30-day journey towards spiritual, emotional, and financial freedom. It's written as a devotional style. And so there's just little chunks for each day over 30 days, with some reflection questions, some prayers, some scripture throughout, and then some space to be able to look back as you go and maybe process that on your own with God or with your spouse or with a small group even. And so it's available on Amazon's a great way to find it. That's kind of the easiest way if you're buying one or two copies. But if you want to buy in bulk, maybe you're saying, hey, I want to do this as a small group, or hey, I think the leadership of my church maybe should go through this. Invite Resources, the publisher, has discounts on bulk purchases.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Thank you for the work that has been done to put this together, to examine a personal life to share. And thanks for spending some time with us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Beth and Deb, thank you so much for having me.